Good morning, everyone. Hey, come on. Good morning, everyone. Hey, it's good to see all of you. This is the first time I'm preaching in Hope Singapore on a Sunday morning outside Axis Auditorium, so it's a kind of a new experience for me. Just now, I was outside 9:30. I was drinking my coffee. Suddenly, the lights went off, you know. I have no idea why. Then I realized that you guys start your service at 9:30. I was still talking to some people around me. Hey, let's talk a little bit, all right? 9:45, I'll go in there, have a break, go and answer the call of nature, then answer the call of God. But apparently, the call of God is very strong here in this place. Amen. Hey, welcome to Hope Singapore. Welcome to all my brothers and sisters who are watching this broadcast. There is the East Center, the West Center, or the Axis Center. I'm with the good people in Lorong Chuan in NTP right now. So praise God. If you're watching this broadcast from anywhere around the world, welcome to Hope Global. If you are new with us, we are so glad that you have... Chihan, you are stronger. Can you help me? I want to make it like a bit like that. You understand what I'm saying? Make it higher, but... Okay. Okay, make it higher. Okay. New joke, right? How many men does it take to unscrew a music stand? I haven't grown taller. The lower bit. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. If you are new here with us, we are so glad that you have taken the time to be with us. Your presence means a lot to us. We are so glad that you have decided to spend Sunday morning with us. We pray that you have a good time with us. You will really feel at home. And for those of you who are with us for a long time, so good to see all of you. After the conference, we had a wonderful, wonderful conference. Now, two things we're going to do before we look into the Word. First thing is that 40 days of prayer. Just now you saw it and the video, right? Number one, it's not the same shirt, all right? Yesterday, I wore the same shirt. Today, I wore a different shirt. I have three same shirts, okay? So it's no anything. Just wake up. In fact, I can go to sleep in this and just wake up. So, 40 days of prayer. This year, we're celebrating SG60. As Christians, there are many things we can do to bless a nation. We should pay our taxes. We should flush the toilet after we use it. We should not speed. And one of the things we can do that no one else can do is that as Christian, we must pray to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords for our nation. So 40 days of prayer, starting on the 1st of July until the 9th of August, I'd like to invite all of you to participate together with me so that as entire nation, we can pray together. This year is going to be quite special because on the 8th and the 9th of August, we have 30 prayer centers all over Singapore. We are expecting, I don't know how many, 40,000 people. We're going to come together. We want to pray for this little red dot we call home. Now, before we look into God's Word, let's take a moment to pray together. This morning, I would like to pray for those of us who are unwell. Either it's you or it's someone close to you. But we believe that as we pray together, there is power in prayer. So if that is you or you are standing in the gap for a loved one, on the count of three, I'd like to invite you to stand so that we are able to pray together with you, to love you together as a church family. So on the count of three, either it's yourself or someone that's close to you, your parents, your grandparents, or your spouse, or your children, we want to pray for you. Those of you watching on broadcast, I'd like to invite you to stand as well. We want to pray for you. One, two, three. Would you please stand? Stand. Wherever you are. Claudia, who's that? Me? Oh, your parents. Okay. For a moment, I thought, I'm okay. Did you receive some report that I didn't receive? All right. Stupidity is not an illness. It's just genetic. All right. Okay. Anyone else? Those of you? All right. Those of us who are around them, can we just stretch out our hands and we pray for them? Can we do that right now? Come. Father, we just want to pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord. You see the needs of your people. Lord, in Jesus' name, we call upon your grace, your healing power upon themselves or their loved ones. Lord, your hand is not too short. You're able to reach out to every single one. So today, as we come here in this room, we trust in your healing power. In Jesus' name, we all pray and everyone say, amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on, let's give God a big hand. Thank you for his healing power. Today we are wrapping up the last part of our Philemon series. We're going to look at the last four verses of this very short letter from Paul to Philemon. The entire theme for the book of Philemon is true fellowship in the gospel. Everybody say it together with me. True fellowship in the gospel. Come on, everybody. true fellowship in the gospel. Last four verses. Let's look at those verses. In verse 22, from verse 22 to verse 25. Now, the Bible said this. Let me read for us. Paul was coming to the end of his letter, and these are the words that flows out from his pen. He said, "And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." Verse 25, everybody in full voice, please. The Bible says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." I'm going to talk to you about caring for one another. Even as you talk about true fellowship in the gospel, one of these aspects is to learn to care for one another. It seems like kind of a no-brainer, but let the word of God instruct us this morning. What can we learn from these four verses? Allow me to pull out two truths for us from these four verses with regards to caring for one another. Firstly, to care for one another, we practice hospitality. To care for one another, we practice hospitality. Now, let's zoom in to the first part of verse 22. Let's look at what Paul says. How do we know that? Paul says, "And one thing more," Paul says, "prepare a guest room for me." Now, remember the context here. I think earlier part, I think Jian Ming or some of the preachers here, we have shared with us that Philemon, Paul is writing this letter from jail. He's not writing this letter from some five-star hotel or in some holiday resort or like most Singaporeans in Osaka eating whatever ramen with the pico man running or whatever, right? So he was writing this in jail. And yet, look at the audacity of his faith. He said, "One thing more before I sign off, let me tell you, right? Prepare a guest room for me." Talk about confidence. Paul is basically saying this: get the guest room ready. I am checking out of jail soon. He didn't say, "If the Lord wills, pray hard for me." It's just faith in action. He was so confident that God's going to deliver him. So he told Philemon, "Prepare a guest room for me." Now, please understand this. When Paul said, "Prepare a guest room," he's not just talking about making travel plans here. It's not just making about travel plans. It's not just coming in Excel sheet, come on, make sure I stay here. Stay. It's not just about travel plans. Guest room is not just about extra bed, spare pillows, and clean bed sheet. Because you see, in Paul's time, guest room was the code word for hospitality. Basically, what Paul was saying to the people then was that practice hospitality. If you truly care for me as a brother in Christ, practice hospitality. Hospitality in those days is not just nice to have. It is essential for gospel work. Now, why is that so? Let me explain to you the context during Paul's time. During Paul's time, if they don't stay in people's home, they may end up staying in hotels or what we call inns. And inns in those days were like the Wild Wild West. Inns were places that was known for prostitution, theft, drunken fights, and the occasional murder. So this is the reputation of inns in those days. Not exactly the best Airbnb option. If these places were to be put up on the Airbnb website, they have 0-star rating. Dangerous place. Don't stay there. So in those days, the early Christian, what they would do is that they would open up their hearts by opening up their homes. Is that practical? You open up your hearts to the gospel, you render care to God's people by opening up your homes. And they will give traveling missionaries those days food, shelter, and even fund them for the next leg of their journey. So when Paul was writing to the people then in this letter, prepare a guest room, people understood what it means. Paul wasn't just talking about, hey, you got spare bed now, got clean bed sheet now, got extra room or not. He's not talking about that. He's talking about hospitality. I need you to show up. If you really care for me, I need you to practice hospitality. And just in case, some of us may think that Paul is writing to Philemon alone, because some of us were known in the earlier preaching that Philemon is probably a rich man. He owns slaves. One of them is Onesimus. He ran away. That's why this letter was written in the first place. I'm sure he owned more than one slave. And the home church also met in his house. So some of us will quite easily conclude that probably his house is quite big. So this guy is probably quite rich. So Paul knew that Philemon is rich. So Paul was writing to Philemon and prepare a guest room for me. But that's not the case. Paul wasn't writing to Philemon. Paul was writing to the entire church. Paul was telling the whole church, we got to be a community of hospitality. North East Center, you got to be a community of hospitality. East Center, West Center, Axis Center, the Amokyo Zone, you got to be a community of hospitality. That is what Paul is saying. Now, how do I know that? Go back with me to verse 22. Let's look at what the Bible has to say. Not what Jeff wants to say, but what does the Bible have to say? The Bible says, and one thing more, Paul says, prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you. In answer to your prayer, the you here is written in the plural. So in Chinese, 不是你, 是你们. So it's writing to the entire church. He's saying that either you are like Philemon, you have a lot, you have a spare room, you have a foam bed lying somewhere, you have an extra resort, you have an extra room, you are Mr. Airbnb, you have so many property, you sometimes even forget which one belongs to you. It's not talking about dead people, it's talking about everybody, the whole church. Let's be a community of hospitality. Now, tell someone beside you, to care for someone, practice hospitality. Come on, tell them. To care for one another, practice hospitality. Now, on that note, I want to give a big shout out to many of you who hosted our global pastors and leaders during our conference. Praise God for many of you. Many of you here in this room watching me on the broadcast. Thank you so much. You were chauffeur, you were chef, you were concierge. Three roles all rolled into one over one weekend. You pick up your guests from the airport. You brought them to the home. And then you brought them to Resort World Center. You prayed for them. And then you fed them. And then they eat. And just when they thought they could not eat another mouthful, you feed them some more. Can someone say amen? So thank you so much. Let's give a big praise to all of you. Thank you. Thank you for showing hospitality to our global pastors. You know, one host even commented to Pastor Claudia. She said that my daughter and I, we were so excited to host the Vietnamese delegates. They even stocked up the bedroom with snacks and drinks, just like it was a 5-star hotel. But unlike the 5-star hotel, all these are complimentary. Can someone say amen? Right? All these are free. And just to show how Singaporean they were, they even brought the Vietnamese delegates to go and eat chili crabs. Wow, praise God. I say this with deep conviction. You know, Singapore Tourism Board should really consider hiring them. So I am so proud of all of you for that. One more time, let's give ourselves a big, big hand. Thank you so much. Practice hospitality. Many of the overseas guests, they came. I said, at the end, I said, hey, what do you learn? I said, yeah, I learned a lot from this pastor, that pastor. God spoke to me. By the way, I also learned, wow, chili crab, very nice. Okay, praise God. Praise God. By the way. Not only did you serve our global people, you also gave generously during the conference weekend. Over the conference weekend alone, we collected more than 250,000 Singapore dollars over one weekend, all right? Okay, don't clap. Last year, this time, our missions collection was 164,066. This year, this time, our missions collection, ladies and gentlemen, $427,811. Come on, let's give God a big hand. Praise God. Let's keep it going. Thank you for being so generous. Thank you for being good hosts. Thank you for hosting our global churches. So there are some QR codes. You can just put that up. if you like to continue to give, I want to encourage you to continue to give either through PayNow or through credit card. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Now, let's bring it down closer to home. How do we exactly practice hospitality in our life groups? How do we do that? Well, it means that we show up. We celebrate the highs, the birthdays, the weddings, the promotion, but we also sit with one another in the lows, in the hospital beds, during funeral, during time of heartaches. We bring cakes when you're happy, and then we bring chicken soup when you're down. Through every season, we do life together. Hope is truly better together. We want to learn to practice hospitality, love one another. One of the books that encouraged me a lot 2 years ago when I read it for the first time is this book called Unreasonable Hospitality, written by this guy called Will Goodara. Will Goodara is the guy behind 11 Madison Park. It's a restaurant in New York City. It was once crowned the best restaurant in the world. Now, let me share you a story from this book. I shared to many of my staff. I said, hey guys, these are people, they do all these things because probably they want to earn a buck. They want to be crowned as the kind of best restaurant, but we are the people of God. We got to do better. Let me share you a story from the book. It says this: a Spanish family of four dine at the restaurant. Their kids were mesmerized by the falling snow. They have never seen snow before. So they were sitting beside the window and they saw snow partway during the dinner for the very first time. The staff overheard this and they got creative. They went to a nearby store and bought snow sledges, arranged a limousine, and then whisked the entire family off to Central Park for a magical night of sledging. That's what Will Goodara calls unreasonable hospitality. The remarkable power of giving people more than they expect. Creating moments that become memories. Let me say that again. Creating moments that become memories. And God has called us Christian to practice unreasonable hospitality. I like how the Westerners, they are able to put it in very kind of sexy words, right? The remarkable, how they say, the remarkable power of giving people more than they expect. In the early day of our church, we say the same thing, but we kind of say it in a more crude way. This is how we say, don't love people until they know it. Love people until they feel it. Right? They may not be able to describe. No, you're. Sometimes some people English may not be very powerful. During birthday, they want to affirm you. You. I cannot stand you. Or you. Whatever. Okay. They feel it. They feel love. They may not be able to articulate it in such a sexy way, the remarkable way of giving people more than what they expect. But you see that we got to love people, love them so much until they feel it. And God has asked us, Christ followers, to do the same. How many of you here are Christians and you are thankful to God for it? Come and lift up your hands. Straight up. Leave our stream straight up. Put your hands down. God has called us, me, you, to practice unreasonable hospitality. Not because we are naturally kind, not because we grew up in warm, loving family, not because of our culture, not because of our personality. We practice unreasonable hospitality. Why? Because we have first and foremost received the unreasonable grace from the one whose name we bear. That is why we can practice unreasonable hospitality. Because Jesus welcomed us when we were strangers. Jesus loved us when we didn't deserve it. Jesus gave us a place around his table when we have nothing to give. That is why we practice unreasonable hospitality. I learned this from our church. Am I perfect? Far from it. Because to be honest with you, some of you who understand Hokkien, I'm still quite a kotak person. You know what kotak is, right? I'm quite a kotak means kotak means what? Particular. I'm a very I like to keep to myself. Kotak person. I like my. Recently, I share a story. Recently, my colleague who worked at the reception, right? I was on my way back. She wasn't working that day, right? So I decided to mess up her whole reception table. I don't know why. I just like to disturb people, right? So I mess up everything. Then after I went home, and then I feel guilty, you know. So I call my colleague. Are you still in the office? He said, yes. Hey, can you help me do something? You know? Can you please go and put the thing back, because I feel bad for her, you know. So she went to put it back. But do you know, if any of you, right, come to my office, like, I surely know one. Because everything I put is perpendicular one. I'm not kidding. I from small to big, my coins must face up, everything. So once somebody comes to my room, I know I am that kind of a personality. So even when I come to church, I was thought that we ought to be hospitable. We need to be hospitable. Not just love people, but love people until they feel it. So I want to encourage you, as a fellow Singaporean who loves to keep things to ourselves, we need to extend and up our level of hospitality one to another. Let's read some verses together. Let's read Romans 13 verse 8 together, shall we? The Bible says, everybody in full voice please, Romans 13 verse 8. The Bible says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. So let's continue to love one another. Romans chapter 12 verse 10. If there's one thing we want to be competitive about, is this one. The Bible says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So I want to encourage you. That's how we show hospitality in the life group. If you are not connected to a live group here, I know some of you here are not connected to a live group, you are missing out in a big way. I want to encourage you to be connected to one of the 624 live groups we have in our church. As special as you are, I am sure we can find a live group that will suit you. I want to ask you to talk to the pastors, the leaders, and the connectors, and we want to find a live group that is right just for you. And let me end this point with a gentle nudge. For those of you who are watching this broadcast online at home, some of us post-COVID, we have grown quite comfortable with watching worship services from our couch in our pajamas with a kopi in hand. I'm talking about you right now. You are watching this and I exactly describe you, all right? But maybe you're not wearing pajamas, you're just wearing your underwear, but it's okay, all right? We love technology, but we must never, ever let convenience rob us of connection. There's something magical when we meet together in a room, when we worship, when we pray, when we grow together. So we want to do that together. So one more time, turn to someone beside you, tell them to care for one another, practice hospitality. Come on, tell them to care for one another, practice hospitality, unreasonable hospitality. Number two, what else do we do? To care for one another, we render support. To care for one another, we render support. Now, this is kind of interesting if you kind of like go through this last few lines of Paul's letters with me. Now, Paul is wrapping up his letter now. And he didn't just say goodbye. He began to shine his spotlight on his teammates. And these people that he shined his spotlight on, they were not just casual friends. These are people who have fought shoulder with shoulder with Paul in the trenches of ministry. Now, let's look at those names. Paul, in verse 23, he starts with this gentleman who goes by the name of Epaphras. He said, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He says, there's this guy called Epaphras. He is probably in chain alongside Paul. That's a deep kind of fellowship, sharing hardship together for the sake of Christ. So he shines his spotlight. Before I say goodbye, hey, Epaphras, my fellow cellmate in the cell group in the jail, he say hello to you as well. And then in verse 24, he highlighted four more names. They are Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. He highlight this four names. Now, let me kind of explain to you who are these four characters in the book of Philemon. Mark here is the same John Mark. It's the same John Mark that abandoned the Apostle Paul and Barnabas during their first missionary trip. In fact, it was such a bad thing that it caused a great disagreement between Barnabas and Paul. And so he is back again, restored, reconciled, and now back in the game. Aristarchus is a guy that was also named in the book of Colossians. He was also identified as a fellow prisoner, reflecting his commitment to the ministry of the gospel. So there was Mark, there was Aristarchus, and then there was this guy called Demas. Let's put up verse 24. Can you just put up on the, behind me on the screen so that they can see the name? Demas. Right? There was Mark, there was Aristarchus, there was Demas. Now, Demas, as we would know in the last letter from Paul when he was on earth, he said that this guy deserted him. Basically, this guy backslided. At this point of writing, he was still part of the team. So Demas reminds us that we need to guard our hearts. Because it's not just about starting well, we need to end even better. So this Demas started well, but he backslided along the way. But at this point in time, still very much a part of Paul's team. Then the last guy he highlighted was this guy called Luke. Luke is the beloved doctor and the writer behind the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. What a gift he is to Paul, and what a gift he is to us by giving us these two letters. So in these two verses, Paul was not just dropping names. He was not like just dropping names to show that, you know, I have some important friends, I have some people who are in the ministry. He was not just dropping names. This is the point that Paul was making here. Don't miss this, right? Basically, in a lot of letters he writes, then he just highlights people. Basically, he's making this point. I am not serving God alone. I have people who care for me. I have people who support me. Serve God together with me. If you read the book of Romans chapter 16, the entire chapter 16, you will learn that the whole chapter here is basically a greet and thank you note. All the names, all the people. So Paul is making this point. Paul is saying that we care for one another by rendering support to serve Jesus together. That is what Paul is saying. Now, I need you to listen to me. Important now. Those of you watching on the screen, I need you to do this for me. I need you to support your pastors. All right? I need you to support your leaders. I'm encouraging you. I'm asking you, not encouraging, I'm asking you to pray for them. I'm asking you to encourage them. I'm asking you to support your leaders and your pastors. Let's flash those names, all right? Can y'all see? Pray for them. Encourage them. Pray for them. Serve them. Support them. Not just, you care for them. One of the very tangible ways of caring for these people is to pray for them. Help them. Love them. Serve God together. Fulfill our God-given vision and mission together with your pastors. Our vision is to fulfill the Great Commission. Our mission is to love neighbors, make disciples, and plant churches. Serve them together. Now, this is important. Now, the overall theme, let's come back again. The overall theme for the book of Philemon is true fellowship in the gospel. And you must realize that when Paul talks about true fellowship, it is not just about sharing meals and making memories. It's also about sharing the mission together. This is so important. Because Christians, sometimes we hijack the term. We love to fellowship. What do? We eat and we laugh and we eat and we laugh. We talk about ourselves. We talk about the good old days. So is fellowship dead? Yes. But fellowship is more than that. So when Paul said true fellowship in the gospel, at the end, he highlighted these people. Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke. These are people who truly have true fellowship with me. How so? Did we share meals together? Obviously, we share meals together. In fact, at this point of writing, Epaphras is right beside me. We are chained together. We have every meal together. We poop together. We wee together. We do everything together, but more than just sharing meals and memories. True fellowship in the gospel involves true fellowship for the gospel. True fellowship, my friend, does not stop at the dining table. It must move out into the world. It must move out into the world. So hope is not just better together for ourselves. Hope is better together for the watching world. Hope is better together for the people that are not yet in this community. And that's what God called us to be. True fellowship in the gospel is more than just you love me, I love you, we are one big family. That is true, but it is more than just that. 2 weeks ago, the staff, we were having our lunch together. So I was walking around. So at the corner of my eye, I could see that there was kind of some rather intense activity happening around one table. I turned and I saw Ely. Ely was speaking quite animatedly as always. And the people around her, they were giving her their undivided attention as she was sharing some story. I couldn't hear, but it certainly intrigued me. So what I did was that I just walked across the room because I really want to listen. What was she sharing? And what was the story or the testimony that was capturing the attention of the people around her? And after I heard it, I was so inspired. I said, Ely, you got to pen this down so that I can share it to the church. And so here is Ely's story. Ely said, I first got to know Uncle Wong through block pastoring. We were giving out gifts in the neighborhood, and that's how our connection began. Over time, I started visiting him, listening to his story, and praying for him. One day, Ely said, I felt this prompting from the Holy Spirit. Why not go for a walk? The Holy Spirit told her. But Ely said, but walk where? The thought came, go and visit Uncle Wong. It was already quite late, and I hesitated. What if he was already asleep? Would I be wasting my trip? Still, there was this persistent sense that I couldn't shake off. So what I did was that Ely said that I grabbed some apples, thinking that I would just leave them at his door if he wasn't awake. When I got there, Uncle Wong was seated in his living room with a beer in his hand and sadness in his eyes. But his face lit up when he saw me. He told me that it was his wife's death anniversary and he was drinking to drown his sorrow. 借酒消愁. He poured out his heart. I told him that it was Jesus who prompted me to come. He kept thanking me for being there. When I asked if I could pray for him, he immediately agreed, walked over and closed his eyes. As I prayed for peace and comfort, he cried. In that moment, I felt not only Jesus' love for him, but also for me. I walked home filled with gratitude for knowing Jesus, for being able to walk, and for having both a biological and a spiritual family. As I walked, I prayed, God, it would be so good if someone nearby could keep checking in on Uncle Wong. Amazingly, Ely said, the next day I happened to sit next to Belda, a leader in the international group, and shared to her about Uncle Wong. She asked me, where does Uncle Wong live? And it turned out that her boyfriend, Erwin, who also served in the international group, lives just one block away. Talk about divine appointment. From then on, Belda, Erwin, and their life group and I started visiting Uncle Wong. It was a great teamwork to love him together. Belda and her life group celebrated Father's Day with Uncle Wong. Just 2 Wednesdays ago, we celebrated his birthday. He said it was the first time someone had done that since his wife passed. And the first time, he said this, anyone had ever given him a birthday cake. He didn't even know what to do with the cake. He was ready to cut the cake even before we start to sing happy birthday. This is his first time having a birthday cake. Some of us take for granted during our birthday, so many cakes. Ah, 又是蛋糕，很肥很肥很肥很肥。This guy had never had birthday cake before. That day, he told us he was very, very, very happy. He told us that the Kopitiam people would surely ask who we were. And he said that we would tell them that we are from the church. It was a simple statement, but it carried so much meaning. As we often say, hope is better together. And truly, it is. We are not just better for ourselves, but also for those who have yet to encounter the hope and the love found in Jesus Christ. So let's give God, let's give Ely, let's give Belda, let's give Erwin, let's give the international group a big, 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 big hand. So hope is better together. True fellowship in the gospel. We love one another. Can someone say amen? We care for one another. How do we do that? We practice hospitality. We practice hospitality, not because of your personality, not because of your culture. We practice hospitality because Jesus had first done that for us. We love, come on, help me, because he first loved us. We practice hospitality. And we render support. Support your pastor, support your leaders, support your LGL. Serve God together. Love one another. Yes, we do that. We celebrate birthday. We celebrate birthday fiercely. Everyone buy a cake. Eat your cake, eat your cake, eat your cake. Face on me. Eat your cake, eat your cake. We celebrate. Every life group, we celebrate your birthday. And then we pretend. We pretend that we don't know the cake is coming. But when the cake comes, we're like, oh, my birthday, ayo. But not just that. True fellowship in the gospel, for the gospel. Friends, listen to me. I don't come here often. Life. Listen to me. Those of you watching on the screen, listen to me. Please, listen. This is the cry of my heart. Hospitality is not exactly my strong suit, but I still preach it because it's from God's word. But this is the cry of my heart. Friends, please, don't be an inward-looking church. Please, don't be an inward-looking church. Many churches in Singapore, around the world, they are inward-looking church. They just grew up together, sharing the same old joke over and over again. After a while, they cross marriage. Edward married Victoria. And so forth. Just inward. We don't give a rip about the people who are far away. When that happens, friends, that's the beginning of the end. That's the beginning of the end. The best fellowship ever known in human history began when it was 3 persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But they broke fellowship and sent Jesus down for cross-cosmic missions all the way from heaven to earth. Why? Because of you, because of me. We need salvation. And God saved us to bring us back into fellowship with him. So I want to urge you, friends, true fellowship in the gospel involves fellowship for the gospel. Let's stand together right now, all over this place.